and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. From the start, this pandemic worsened the public health crisis of domestic violence. The Ohio Domestic Violence Network found recently homicides jumped 62% during the pandemic. And now an Inquirer analysis shows one in four perpetrators and victims of domestic violence had a family history of it. The paper is taking a deeper dive into impacts of domestic violence as part of a special report, underwritten in part with a grant from the University of Southern California's Annenberg Center for Health Journalism and its 2021 Domestic Violence Impact Reporting Fund. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the series are Inquirer Health reporter Ann Saker. Hello, Ann.
Hi, Michael.
Heroin epidemic reporter Terry DeMio. Terry, welcome. We have breaking news reporter Cameron Knight. Hello, Cameron.
Good day.
We have breaking news intern Quinlan Bentley. Hello, Quinlan.
Hi, Michael.
And Inquirer staff photographer Liz Dufour. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So, Anne, I'll start with you. What is this series focusing on? I know that domestic violence is the tragic theme here, but talk a bit about how the Inquirer has decided to find specific issues within that theme.
Thank you very much, Michael. We've been discussing getting our arms around the larger story of domestic violence for a few years now. Cameron Knight, my colleague, does an amazing job covering this story from the law enforcement beat. But we also know that there are other elements to this story that we weren't quite attacking. Earlier this year, I sat in on a virtual seminar on the latest thinking about domestic violence that was being held from the University of Southern California. And at the end of this conference, they said, we're going to have grants available to newsrooms so that they can pursue reporting on this topic. We came up with an idea. We applied for the grant and received it. And with that money, we were able to hire on Quinlan Bentley, who's a student at the University of Cincinnati. And we developed an idea to illustrate, this was actually Cameron's idea. We wanted to illustrate the generational legacy of domestic violence. This is something that doesn't just happen in a home spontaneously. This gets handed down. And we wanted to find a way to illustrate that.
And that is something I want to dive into with you, Anne. I know that that was part of the story that you took the lead on, the legacy of domestic violence from one generation to the next. And we'll get to that momentarily. Cameron Knight is the breaking news reporter at the Cincinnati Inquirer and one of the lead reporters on this series as well. And Cameron, as Anne noted, you do cover this from a law and order perspective. You cover a lot of criminal activity in the region. Had you wanted to take a deeper dive into domestic violence rather than the day-to-day reporting of incidents that happen and the legal consequences of them?
So, yeah, definitely. The interesting thing about domestic violence is that in Ohio, the vast majority of it is a misdemeanor charge, which for ethical reasons, as journalists, we tend not to cover misdemeanors because the idea of splashing someone in the news for something minor, legally minor, I don't want to downplay the importance of domestic violence, but it's sort of like if we were to cover domestic violence as a misdemeanor, that would open the door to cover all misdemeanor crimes potentially. Like, why are you covering one thing and not another? That sort of thing. And it's between families, which, again, we don't want to re-victimize people. So we tend not to report on the day-to-day of domestic violence, whereas we do report on the day-to-day of homicides and murder and things like that. But the shocking thing to me was just how common it was. I would go to the jail almost every day, and I'd go through the slips of paper that show how, you know, who was arrested for what all over the county for every single day. I looked through every one of them for years. I did that. And I mean, it's nearly as common as possession of drugs or theft. I mean, you're talking about that common of a crime. And then to dive deeper into it, it's just heartbreaking to hear. And it's something we wanted to cast a light on in a new way.
Terry DeMio is the heroin epidemic reporter at the Cincinnati Inquirer. Terry, the series is already underway. There is more to come. I understand you've got an edition, or I guess a piece of this edition, coming out next week related to violence prevention in schools. So talk a bit about, just for readers' sake, the order of events in which we can consume what's being produced here by you all.
Right. So the story will come out online. My final piece is the third in the series. It'll come out online on Thursday, and then it'll be Sunday in print. And, you know, we all know that, and as Anne's story pointed out, and to some degree Cam's, domestic violence is something that doesn't just affect those two people or so in a household. There's that greater impact of children and whether they might then have been traumatized and subsequently develop the same kind of MO of relating to people. And what happens with them, and how can, or can it even, is there any hope of preventing this? So I spoke with a number of specialists in domestic violence prevention and looked up some information about how there is evidence-based education. So, you know, there are programs, educational programs, that have been shown to work to reduce the likelihood of future violence. And that could be any type of relationship violence, including domestic violence. And in Greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, most of our kids are getting that kind of education. And so we got to look at what that looks like. And Liz Dufour was in the classrooms. We got to talk to people about the impact and why it works. We looked at the evidence. And, you know, the good thing to me is that it actually brings a little bit of hope, to the future of our children, because they're just beginning to graduate, you know, the kids who have been taking these kinds of classes. And you know, at least the evidence seems to show that there will be an impact on this kind of violence and it will be reduced.
Quinlan Bentley is the Inquirer breaking news intern who worked on some of the data used in this story. Quinlan, you're still a student, an undergrad, I understand, and talk a bit about your role in this series.
Yeah, of course. So I had been working with the Inquirer previously for, you know, doing breaking news work, that kind of thing. But, you know, mostly what I did for this project was really just digging through, you know, honestly, hundreds of really, you know, court documents, criminal court documents, domestic relation documents, and trying to figure out, you know, just how pervasive the intergenerational impact of domestic violence is. So we really focused on the month of April 2020. One, because that was a month in which six women were killed in Greater Cincinnati, more than the entire previous year, 2019, but also because that was when a lot of pandemic lockdowns had really gone into effect. You know, so we sort of took a look, targeted those specific cases, domestic violence cases from that month, you know, sort of looked at how many of the perpetrators and survivors had family members, generally parents, who, you know, had histories of domestic violence. And we found that, in fact, about a quarter of each group of the perpetrators and survivors had family histories.
Inquirer staff photographer Liz Dufour is also with us. And Liz, talk a bit about challenges or opportunities you saw in your role here with this series in capturing the images of people who factor into the tales.
Yes. So I thought it was really important that our stories had real people in them. I mean, to really tell their stories. In the first one, Patricia Woods was one of the six women who died in April 2020. And through Quinlan's research, I was able to find her mom, Tracy Jones, and met up with her to hear her talk. And you know, we met at the cemetery where she visits her daughter's grave frequently. Those aren't easy interviews to do. I mean, you're making them relive a traumatic part of their life that has not gone away. I mean, they're still dealing with it. In the Patricia Woods case, her alleged assailant goes to court on November 2021. So next month he'll be in court on aggravated murder. And then with the divert story that Cam did, you know, we found Paula, who is a sweetheart of a woman who dealt with domestic violence for 16 years. And if it wasn't for Women Helping Women, she says she would still be letting him back in. So I think that, you know, as a photographer, we have to be on the scene and we have to get them to talk. And, you know, my heart goes out to all these women who want to talk because they want to get their story out there. They want to help other people. Because it is largely something that happens behind, unless it's a murder, it happens behind closed doors. And you likely know somebody that is being abused, but they just haven't said anything. So I think these stories are really important to get out. And then I will add on Terry's stories. It was fascinating to be in the classroom in some of these sessions because these kids really opened up about some of the sexual assaults and what they saw going on, and the discussions they had were really wonderful. Of just even like, what would you do if you saw a fellow classmate trying to put his phone up somebody's skirt? You know, how would you react to that? Who would you go tell? And those are discussions that, you know, we need to be having. So, yeah, I was honored to be part of this project.
We will continue with these five Inquirer journalists just ahead and talk a bit about what they have uncovered so far about domestic violence in our region. And later in the program, why are cities across the country, including two right here in our area, moving to ban abortions? We'll discuss. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. During the pandemic, domestic violence cases and associated homicides increased. Now the Cincinnati Inquirer is taking a deeper look at the crisis. The special report is underwritten in part with a grant from the University of Southern California's Annenberg Center for Health Journalism and its 2021 Domestic Violence Impact Reporting Fund. We're joined by five journalists from the Inquirer: Ann Saker, Terry DeMio, Cameron Knight, Quinlan Bentley, and Liz Dufour. Ann Saker, back to you. Your reporting and some of the data collected through Cameron's reporting and Quinlan's research shows that there is a legacy of domestic violence generation to generation. Can you explain that to us?
One of the things that struck me in doing the reporting for this particular project is that this legacy is something that artists and writers have studied since the dawn of time, how families inflict trauma on their children and how that gets handed down. Today, science is beginning to tell us how that actually happens in our brains and in our bodies. As the health reporter, that's what fascinated me most about this opportunity to attack this subject, that we could see where the nexus was, where it is, between crime and public health, between families and communities. And it seemed to me that this all got distilled into this one public ill, that if we could address it in some way, things could substantially change.
What options did you find, if any, to address?
Well, that's what Terry's story in part is going to explore when it appears on Thursday, and that is the public education campaigns that are going on in Ohio and Kentucky schools. But not only that, we're seeing that there are other ways to bring hope to this situation. Cam's story illustrates the co-response phenomenon with the Cincinnati police and women helping women. We just have to find other tools to use to help families approach this problem. There is some discussion in Ohio about developing what's called sort of loosely a domestic violence court, but it would really be more of a legal framework where one family's difficulties would all go before one judge who would understand that family and know what would be best for that family going forward. That's a tall order. I'm not sure where we're going to go with that, but there's also legislation currently that just got introduced in the Ohio House 2 weeks ago that would create a study commission in Ohio on adverse childhood experiences, of which domestic violence is one. And if we can explore how that is affecting our economy and our society, we can find ways to fix it. That was our goal, Michael, in doing this project, was to create solutions to at least point people toward a hopeful future with this problem.
Cameron Knight is the breaking news reporter at The Enquirer. And Cameron, in your part of this series, you focused a bit on this relationship between a local nonprofit and the police department. We've also featured this organization on this program as recently, again, as last week. And it is called Divert. And it is coordinated, I believe, by Women Helping Women. Can you talk a bit about how that is offered as a response to this increase in domestic violence cases?
Yeah, it's a perfect example of some of the police reform that's been pitched out there in the last year, during this time of protest and more attention being paid to what policing should be. And it essentially puts domestic violence experts, people who have been trained, people who are there just to try to look for solutions for the victims. It puts these advocates at the doorstep at the time when they're most needed. So these are folks that are trained by Women Helping Women. They're not cops. They don't carry guns, and but they're right there, and they have a person with a police radio, and they're just listening for calls.
What do advocates of that particular program argue is beneficial about that approach?
Do what? Well, I'm sorry.
So what's beneficial about that approach rather than having a police officer?
I mean, the idea is that they can find solutions that aren't law enforcement based. The police officers who come to these runs, they know they only have a limited set of tools. They have arrest, a taser, a gun. They have their voice to talk people through things. But a domestic violence advocate has a way to say, we don't care if you go to court. We don't care if you press charges. But do you need a safe place to stay? Do you need money or gift cards to get groceries for your kids? Do you need some help with babysitting? Do you need a plan to get out of this situation? Are you ready for that? They're asking all the questions that are way outside the scope of the criminal justice system to help these people where they're at when they need it most.
I want to ask Terry DeMio, the heroin epidemic reporter at The Enquirer, who also helped with this series coming out. What do you hope that readers of this content learn about this crisis that perhaps they didn't know before?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about sources of hope and prevention in the future. And one of the things that that readers will see within my story is that the things that kids are learning now are things that we didn't, but there are also efforts to increase the awareness of communities. And the Ion Center in Northern Kentucky in particular, and the Violence-Free Coalition of Warren County in particular, also are kind of saturating communities with these messages. Like, who knew, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, that a joke could be the very beginning, the first red flag in a whole series of a continuum of potential violence. And, you know, a kid might not recognize that, and maybe an adult doesn't either. Oftentimes they don't. So we are showing people in social cards and throughout the story ways that they will become more aware of, you know, of healthy and unhealthy relationships, how to set the boundaries that we all have, many of us struggle setting, and even to, you know, to help someone else. The Ion Center in particular uses an evidence-based program called Green Dot, and it really teaches people how to intervene if they see something, you know, because a lot of people will hold back or be fearful or not get that this might be a problem and so on. So I think, you know, and to hear a college student, I was lucky to interview a college student who is a junior now, and to hear her views now after she went through high school and junior high school with this type of education brings some hope too, because her look at things is very refreshing and very current with what we know now that you and I did not learn in school.
We've got about 90 seconds left. I want to make sure I check in again with Liz Dufour, the staff photographer on this project, and Quinlan Bentley, the breaking news intern who assisted on this project. Liz, is there something you learned over the course of this particular project?
Well, I don't know if I think I knew it, but I think the most important thing for me is we need to talk about it. I mean, these women are, you know, they're scared. They don't know where to go. They're embarrassed. I think embarrassment is a big issue. And we need to, you know, we need to not be afraid to talk about domestic violence, because it's out there, it's growing, and it's happening more and more. And I think that these women need to know that, you know, a lot of people shame them because they say, why don't you just leave them? You know, and it's just not that easy. So I think that through all this whole process, it's an important topic that we have to keep on talking about.
And Quinlan, I've got about 30 seconds for you. You're a student. You're studying journalism, I imagine. And I'm wondering how this shaped those pursuits for you. Did it further encourage you to go into this line of work?
Yeah, I mean, journalism is something that I think I've always had my heart set on. But through this work, I think I was really able to see or to experience myself, you know, just how impactful journalism, I think, can be. And I think by bringing to light, you know, just like I said before, the pervasiveness of intergenerational effects of domestic violence and abuse, I think that's something that's worthwhile for the community and something I'd like to see further explored.
You can read this reporting at Cincinnati.com or in the print edition of the Cincinnati Inquirer. My thanks today to Inquirer journalist Ann Saker, Terry DeMio, Cameron Knight, Quinlan Bentley, and Liz Dufour. Thanks to all five of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.